Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Hi, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, a radio show devoted to man's best friend, the dog. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the dog trainer. I'm so happy to be able to air this program on WNJC 1360 AM every Thursday morning. My goal is always to help you, the dog-owning community, understand what makes your dog tick. Each week, I talk to experts in this field. We've listened to many professional dog trainers and behavior consultants explain why dogs develop behavior problems, ranging from house training to aggression. We've also talked to several veterinarians about canine health and nutrition. There are many people out there who spend hours and hours volunteering their time to help homeless dogs. So we talked to various rescue groups around the country to learn more about what they do to help these animals. My first guest this morning is trainer Michelle Frumento. She and I will be giving you some ideas on how to provide mentally stimulating activities for your dogs to do. Michelle is a graduate of the Animal Behavior College. She's a professional dog trainer and owns her own business in Seacane, Pennsylvania, called Your Mannerly Mutt. Michelle and I will be talking about the benefits of feeding your dog out of food release toys rather than the normal doggy food bowl. Let's face it, the only reason we feed our dogs out of bowls is because we humans eat our meals out of dishes. Michelle and I will be discussing the many benefits of creating various ways to encourage your dog to actually hunt for his food and have a blast while he's eating. My second guest today, which will be at about 10:30, will be Dr. Arthur Young, a homeopathic veterinarian, who will be talking about how and why dogs develop digestion problems and how we can help them. Before we get started, please let me tell you what services I offer as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey dog trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Michelle. Thanks so much for joining us in the doghouse today.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So I have a funny feeling that our listeners are scratching their heads wondering, what is a food release toy? So what is it?
Well, there are several food release toys out there, and these are fairly new to the market within the last, you know, several years. Mm-hmm. And they are toys that are meant to provide mental stimulation for your dog, and they, a lot of them have weights in them, different compartments you have to push food around, and they're excellent to feed your dog their meals out of.
Okay. How do they get the food out of them? They just push them around? Do they have to put, you know, kind of like try to dig it out of there somehow?
Well, there are a lot of different ones. There are stationary food toys that stay in one place on the floor, and the dog, you know, noses and paws and digs to open different compartments to get the food out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are ones that are weighted in the bottom that are meant to spring back up, so the dog pushes and rolls them around. And then there are ones that are actually round, and the dogs are meant to roll them all over the house. So the object is to keep your dog guessing at which toy they're going to get, so you're always going to be rotating your toys so the dog doesn't get bored with them.
All right. What are your favorites that you recommend to your clients?
My favorite, definitely the Kong Wobbler.
Mm-hmm,
and
I like that
it
too.
Comes in a large and a small,
mm-hmm.
so the big and the little dogs can all work for their food.
Right.
It's very, very adorable. Some of the strongest chewers that we have haven't been able to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weighted in the bottom. You unscrew it, and it's dishwasher safe.
Okay. And where do you put...
There's a brand new toy that just came out called the Tessa.
The what?
Tempo. It's similar, but it's actually more challenging.
What did you say the name of that toy was?
The Tessa.
Spell that.
I actually just got the very first shipment of those yesterday, in fact. Very cool toy. It's similar to the Wobbler in style, but the bottom compartment actually has a treat release chamber that you can make the food come out more quickly or more slowly depending upon your dog's skill level.
And spell the name of that toy, because I can't understand exactly what that word is.
Tessa. It's a T-E-S-S-A.
Oh, Tessa. Okay. Interesting.
Yes, it's from Contempo Pet Toys.
All right.
It's brand new to the market.
Very good.
Very, very cool toy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the Bob-a-Lot.
The Bob-a-Lot?
Bob-a-Lot.
All right.
Also comes in large and small, weighted in the bottom with a door on there so you can change the flow of food coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones I like that, you know, move around.
Okay.
I also really like the IQ. It is shaped like a paw, and you put it on the floor. It's a stationary food toy, and the dogs push the little compartments around, get their food out. That's a great toy.
Sounds like a puzzle toy.
It is. It is a puzzle toy. They have to figure out which compartment their food's in, and it's fantastic. It holds 3.5 cups of food.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you can vary which chambers you put the food in. So it's a very cool toy. Any toy by Nina Odison is great. They're all puzzle toys. They tend to run a little bit of money, but they're worth it. They're going to stand up to repeated use and washing.
Right.
So they're great toys.
That's great. So it teaches the dog to figure things out, and they just, you know, they have to kind of think about it. They have to work through a problem in order to get their food out.
Right. Dogs, what people don't realize is every single dog that we have was originally bred for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we bring these dogs into our homes, and we want them to be nice, you know, well-behaved members of the family. However, we neglect those instinctual behaviors. And, you know, we go off to work every day, and we leave our, you know, new family members at home by themselves, and then we get upset with them when they get into things that they're not supposed to do.
Very good.
They're not exercising them. Dogs were never meant to eat out of a bowl. They were meant to hunt and forage for their food. So,
right.
You know, walking your dog and giving them exercise is absolutely key, but using their brain and mentally stimulating a dog is just as important as physical exercise.
So I agree.
When you make them hunt and forage and think, it really will tire them out in an appropriate way, and it'll give them something to do that you want them to do.
That's just very, very true. Do you have a dog, Michelle?
I do. I currently only have one dog, as my German Shepherd passed away. I have my little 6-pound therapy dog, Chihuahua. His name is Rue.
Oh, cool. And does Rue eat his meals out of food release toys?
Rue has never eaten out of a bowl a day in his life.
Wow.
That he's lived with me. He did it at his breeder.
Right.
But from the time I brought him home at 3 pounds, he has eaten every single meal out of a food release toy. He loves it.
Good. Good. I know in my own business, sometimes I'll even tell people that their lawn can be a huge food release toy. I don't know if you do it, But I tell people to teach their dogs to go out on the lawn on a nice day, and they can take their food bowl out there and take the food out of the bowl and kind of telescope it all over the lawn, and then tell the dog to go hunt for his food out there. And by the time the dog comes inside, they are exhausted from at least a half hour of hunting out there.
Yes. I also, for dogs who are inside, I tell people to sit on the floor with the dog's portion of food. And I actually did this with a client's dog who had surgery just to give him something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one piece at a time, flick the food across the floor and, you know, say to the dog, go find it.
That's
and the
right.
more space you can have, the dog is running around the house and searching for a single piece of food. And it could take a good, you know, half hour to 45 minutes, but that whole time your dog hasn't stopped moving once.
Absolutely. And I love the go find it game. There's so many different ways of combining that with other types of training. My little dog that I rescued from a shelter 4 years ago doesn't know how to play with toys, has no interest in playing with toys, although I have to tell you, he does have an interest in the Nina Ottison puzzle toy. It's called the spinner, the spinny, and he loves that. But I play a go-find-it game with him, too, and I combine it with a recall game. So I'll toss the treat far away, and he goes and runs after it happily, finds the toy within 2 seconds, and then I call him back to me, and I reward him with another piece of food for coming to me. So you can have a blast with your dog, teach your dog how to hunt, and be happy doing the things that he was bred to do, and combine that with all kinds of training, and you're accomplishing so much when you do that.
Absolutely.
I meet a lot of dogs, though, that are free-fed. And when I say free-fed, I'll go into the home and we'll sit at the kitchen table, and I immediately see their dog's food filled with their dog's bowl filled with the kibble. And they keep that bowl there all day long filled with food. What do you like that when your clients are free-feeding their dogs?
Absolutely not. And there's several problems with that method that I tell people. The first one is, if it's always available, your dog is never going to want to work for it.
Correct.
And that comes to, you know, training and everything else. But if you went to your vet and your vet said, how's your dog been eating lately, you're not going to know what your dog's consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to know if your dog's eating more or less than normal, which could be indicative of a physical problem with your dog.
Good point.
Your dog has no motivation to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And in a multi-dog household, you don't know who's getting more and who's getting less. People whose dogs eat very fast or very slow have no control over it. So it's really, it's what I call grazing, and it's definitely not, you know, how your dog was meant to eat.
And you know what? Every dog I've ever met in the last 10 years who is free-fed loses their appetite. And
absolutely.
I always tell people, we don't put all of our food out for the day on our kitchen table and tell people, okay, every time you're hungry, go over to the kitchen table and pick here, nosh there. By the time they would ever want to sit down for a meal, they wouldn't want to sit down for a meal because they'd be up to their chin. You know, I'm not hungry right now. I don't, you know, food is boring. So we want our dogs to know that their meals are very important, the same way that they would feel about food if they were out in the wild.
Exactly.
And I also tell my client, and I'm sure you do, is that we want the dog to know that the food comes directly from us. It doesn't grow up from the floorboards into their bowl.
No, dogs should work for every single morsel that touches their lips. And what I mean by that is whether most of their food comes out of a food toy, whether you reserve a portion and you do training with it,
mm-hmm.
whether you hand feed your dog, some very shy dogs, you know, it's great when you bring a dog home from the shelter, helps them bond with you. But that dog should realize that every single thing that goes into my mouth, and this includes treats,
mm-hmm.
I have to work for it. Whether it be as simple as sitting or an advanced trick, they have to work for every single morsel that goes into their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have an all-around much better behaved dog. if you do that.
And why do you suppose that? Why do you suppose that when we give dogs jobs to do, they tend to behave better? Is it because they have something else to think about besides being destructive and digging holes in the backyard?
Absolutely. Mental stimulation is so important. But again, dogs really thrive on rule structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dogs who are just given free rein and no rules actually are very nervous if you watch them. They're always trying to figure out what their place is, what their position is, what their job is. Again, as I said, every single dog was bred for something.
Mm-hmm.
So having a job gives the dog, if you will, almost a sense of accomplishment. I mean, I'm not trying to make them sound like they're human, but if you watch a dog and how happy they are at a job well done, and even just for the praise of it, they're a lot more content. And then when they're a lot more content, they're a lot less likely to go, you know, rip your baseboards off the wall.
This is really good, Michelle, and you're right on. I agree with everything that you're saying. What other ideas can you help us out with as far as providing mental stimulation? You know, physical, people think that the only way to exercise a dog is to take him for a walk or run him. But all of these things that we're talking about, even asking the dog to hunt for his food or to at least sit for a meal, is mentally stimulating. But are there other ways of creating mental stimulation for them?
Absolutely. I like my, there's a Chinese nesting doll, a Russian nesting doll, if you will, way that I will sometimes give dogs treats. It's just get a bunch of cardboard boxes, and I will put a couple bones or a bully stick or a frozen Kong or something delicious in one of the boxes. And then I put that box inside of another box, inside of another box, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And I put the whole thing on the floor, and I just encourage the dog to tear it up. To dig and find and seek, and when he reaches the bottom, he gets his prize.
That's really cool. I like that. What about, do you do any kind of activities with dog sports or like agility or fly ball with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten into canine nose work.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that.
It's kind of in the beginning of how you see the police do scent work, but it's having the dog scent to find out, figure out a scent. So you're going to scent an object, and you're going to hide it in the room, and the dog is going to search the room and then alert you to the scent. And this is great for dogs who are fearful around other dogs, who are reactive around other dogs, because when they're doing this, it's you and the dog and the activity. And there's no other dog actually in the room at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fantastic for people who are a little nervous about taking their dog around other sports because mm-hmm. they don't know how their dog is going to react in that environment.
Right.
I actually just started my dog with agility.
Really? Little Roo?
Little Roo. He's not sure what he thinks about it yet, but we've only had one class.
Okay.
Rally is a fantastic sport for dogs.
Right.
It's a form of obedience, but at the same time, it's all focused healing. So you get a dog that walks amazing on a leash, and then you take the leash off, and they're really into you.
Right.
Fly ball is great for those ball-obsessed dogs, you know, that Jack Russell that you have at home that's bouncing off the walls.
Right.
He's a great dog for fly ball. I mean, there's so many sports out there now,
mm-hmm.
but you have to find something that, you know, test the waters and see, you know, what you and your dog like to do together.
Right.
So that it stays enjoyable for everyone.
Give me a little more information about the canine nose work activities. When you say that you scent certain things, where do you get the scents and where exactly are you putting that for the dog to indicate that he can sniff it or he can smell it?
Well, you can get these scents online, and you can even, without even getting into the actual sport of nose work,
right?
You could go to a local store and get some vanilla, some anise. If you Google, like, rabbit scent or any of, you know, the animal scents,
right?
You scent a tug toy in your own home.
Oh, my God.
And then teach your dog to go find that.
Uh-huh.
That tug toy will become so amazingly exciting to a dog.
That's great. That's great.
I've actually
great.
Played the magnet game, which is you scent a magnet with vanilla.
Yeah.
Stick it on the fridge at your dog's nose level.
Right.
And then you teach them just to target that magnet. And then you put two magnets, one scented and one unscented.
Okay.
And they have to find the scented one.
Right.
And then you do three and four, et cetera, so the dog is sniffing the whole time. It's a very cool little game to play with the dog.
I'm thinking, what a great thing for beagles and foxhounds. That would keep them so busy. I mean, I think that would be an incredible activity for beagles
and
other hunting dogs.
And they want to take off in the neighborhood because they have all the smelling going on in the house that they want to have.
Right, right. I mean, with my dog even, he's a little corgi terrier mix, but you give him something to sniff or he finds something to sniff and he's like in a world of his own. That's
all he
wants to do. And what cracks me up is that he can smell a blade of grass. And it's like he doesn't want to come off of it. He'll sniff it until I have to remind him that he has another life out there and to get him distracted to come away from it. That is their favorite thing in the world to do, is to sniff things. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a hunting dog by breed, but certainly our dogs absolutely love to sniff and go hunt and go find things. I think your ideas are fabulous. You mentioned target training. Can you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what that's all about?
With target training, you start with teaching your dog how to touch your hand. And for those who use a clicker, as soon as your dog's little nose touches your hand, you click and you give them a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And you eventually add your cue touch. And you start to add distance between the dog's nose and your hand. The advantage of target training, there's so many advantages, but it's the number one thing that you teach them for any trick. It's great for having them go touch things. You can teach a dog to close a door with target training. You can teach a dog to get on a scale by touching your hand at the vet's office. You can reposition them.
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. That's excellent. Go ahead.
You can easily distract a reactive dog. It's a very simple, almost innate thing that you teach the dog because it doesn't require a whole lot of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If you get this behavior down, there's dogs that won't come, won't do anything, but they'll target your hand.
Right.
So it's a very simple behavior that has tons and tons of uses.
There are videos online that I like to pick get people to watch. I think he's from Austria and he has an Australian shepherd that he's worked with, and he had about a dozen different items, and he taught this dog through targeting to target each item, and she knew exactly the name of the item that he was asking her to identify. It's so cool to watch. And the other thing that I've done, Michelle, I don't know if you've ever made use of this. If the dog is afraid of people, what I've done is I take a sticky note, a post-it note, and I teach the dog to target the post-it note, and then I put the post-it note on the person. I might put the post-it note on the person's foot, have the dog touch his foot with his nose, touch his hand with his nose, because he's not touching the person at first, he's touching the sticky note.
Right.
And that can really diffuse some fear around people if you can get your dog to do that. So
yeah,
all of these things.
I haven't used the post-it note, which I really like that idea. I've done targeting a toy.
Uh-huh, good.
And then move the toy until the person was holding the toy, et cetera. But I like your sticky note idea.
Yeah, it works really good. So I know that you have worked a lot with Rue on obedience, and Rue also got a Canine Good Citizen Award. That was also, I believe, mentally stimulating and mentally challenging for him. Can you tell everybody what a Canine Good Citizen Award is and a little bit about Rue in that particular venue?
Sure. Canine Good Citizen is a test that was developed by the American Kennel Club to have very well-mannered dogs amongst us. And it is a 10-point test, and you can go online to Reenie's website or, you know, your website or the AKC's website to see, you know, the different items on the test. But it's a pretty difficult test for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it prepares them, if you want to do your therapy work. This is the prerequisite for all therapy dogs. But it's to try to get dogs to really have a nice relationship with their people and with the outside world, you know, being very mannerly, not jumping on people that they meet on the street, and learning how to stay and learning how to be well-adjusted if you leave a room, and be properly examined at the veterinarian and groomers without, you know, injuring themselves or others.
Right.
So, you know, and for a little six-pound dog, in a world that's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, I worked probably harder with him than all of my herding dogs combined, all of my German Shepherds and everything. You know, socialization, especially very early, was extremely important for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew I wanted to get him into therapy work.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite an accomplishment for him to be able to do that, you know, again, in a world that's very large for a very small little guy.
Right, right. But you see, Michelle, he might have been the most challenging dog that you've ever lived with, but look how much he's taught you. See, I had a dog like that too, and they teach us so much, and they provide us with so much wonderful things in our life simply because they are so challenging, but we see the fabulous results that we get when we work really, really hard with them.
And it's funny because then every single one of your clients wants you to duplicate your dog, and they have no idea how much time and effort you put into
right.
that perfect little dog in the corner. It's very amusing to me.
Yeah. Do you take Rue to your classes when you do group classes?
Yes, he is the class chairman.
He's class chairman?
He has a little pillow that I call his base,
uh-huh.
and he lays there and supervises all classes. And then he'll come out and do demonstrations on certain things that we're doing. I use him as a distraction, and then occasionally I use him as a icebreaker when people are too fun, you know, too nervous, and I have him start doing tricks in front of the class.
That's really
Everyone's
cool.
favorite is Bang, where Rue plays dead.
Very, very cute. Well, so now he has, he's actually certified as a therapy dog, right?
Yes, he passed his Therapy Dogs International exam. And we are just waiting for our paperwork to come, and we're going to start doing visits to hospitals children's reading programs.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations on that.
Oh,
and congratulations to Rue. Tell us a little bit about where you're located, what your business is all about, and do you have any particular specialty that you want people to know about?
Okay. I'm in Seekane, Pennsylvania. It's about 10 minutes from the Philadelphia airport in Delaware County. I do group classes and private in-home training, behavior modification. I specialize in shy, fearful, and reactive dogs.
Right.
I'm a certified professional dog trainer, and you can find all the information about me on my website, which is www.yourmannerlymutt.com,
mm-hmm.
or you can reach me at 610-348-4267.
That's great. Michelle, you're a graduate of the Animal Behavior College. What did you have to do to graduate?
I actually did not attend the Animal Behavior College.
Oh, my, I'm sorry. I thought you did.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
You didn't go there?
Mm-mm. I mentored for them.
Oh, I thought you graduated from there. That's very interesting.
No, it's okay. I did mentor for them for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. But you're a certified pet dog trainer, and so you are certified, and that really sets you up pretty high in my mind.
Well, thank you.
I think you did a great job today, and I can't thank you enough for providing all these great ideas.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Everybody.
I want everybody to get out there and work their dog's brain.
Yes, there you go. Well, I hope you come back and do this again. Maybe we can talk about another topic that is near and dear to both of our hearts, and I would invite you to come back sometime.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, well, I hope you got a lot out of listening to Michelle. I think her ideas are fabulous. I want you to stay tuned now to the second half of Thursday in the Doghouse today. We're doing something a little unusual. We're going a full hour. I'll be talking to Dr. Arthur Young, a homeopathic veterinarian who spoke with us last week on the subject of dogs' digestion problems. And he's going to talk a lot today, give a little bit of review of last week's show, And he's going to talk to us about methods in which we can help improve these dogs' digestion issues. And so because I'll tell you the truth, I go out there every day, and I think more than half of the dogs that I meet and greet every day are either vomiting or they're having chronic diarrhea. And I'm sure that many of you out there listening today can identify with those problems. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is 1360 AM WNJC.